We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples joined here by Dr. Marty Vanier, Dr. Ken Burton here as we talk about NBAF here today. But I got to start with what's with the hat, Marty?
I did this for Dave. This is my derby hat.
Your derby hat.
My derby hat.
You know, I knew we were going to come to this subject.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? How'd you know?
I knew that we were going to start because I was not going to let Brandon open the rest of the program of the real important stuff about NBAF without commenting on this vivid pink, you know, 22-inch wide hat that you have. And somehow, yes, somehow, Marty Vanier, you managed to get your headphones on underneath it. You know, that is a monumental moment.
Thanks.
That's quite an accomplishment. And you've done all this before 10 a.m.
That's right.
You can take the rest of the day off.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, okay, you were at the Derby.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so what was it like with that crazy ending for the people that were there?
Oh, the roar. It was a roar. And, of course, if you could parse it out, some of it was folks heartbroken, and other parts of the roar were people who had just made their mortgage payment for the month. It was incredible. And the tension, you know, it took like 20-some minutes for the stewards to hand down their decision. And the tension at the track was just incredible, because the longer it took, the more people became concerned about what was going to happen.
So when it was all said and done, were people okay with the decision, or was it just kind of like, what the heck is this all about, and why did this happen?
I think there was more what the heck.
Okay.
I think there was more what the heck. I understand what the stewards said and what the conditions under which they made their decision. I understand that. But I can say for me personally, I looked at all the same film that all the rest of the people looked at, so it's not like I have any special knowledge, but I could see one bump, but I couldn't see the domino effect that they talked about. So it is what it is. The stewards made their decision. It's why you run the race.
It's why you run the race. You and your sister are going to have to take me next year.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And Dave, I think that if they had done further investigation, they might have decided that Marty's hat might have been the cause of the distraction that made this whole thing come about.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I bet that this is mild compared to most of the hats that I've seen.
It is mild.
You know, and there's nothing mild about this from our perspective, you know, but because you're the only one probably in Manhattan with a hat like that, which that's a good thing. Where did you find that?
Amazingly enough, I did find it locally.
Did you?
I did actually find it locally, which is pretty amazing. But to your point, and to Ken's point, the people watching at the Derby is spectacular.
Oh, that's what it sounds like.
It is spectacular.
You know, there's all these Derby outbreak parties now. People are dressing up, you know, and watching the race and, you know, and all kinds of other activities. They did something like that up at the country club here the weekend, too.
Yeah, it's almost like that at the track, where it's a big party where everybody dresses up, and oh, by the way, a horse race breaks out.
Yeah. Well, I know you're big into horses, and I know that had to have been just, you know, that's not the first time you've been there.
No, it's not.
Is it a regular deal?
You go. Not real regular, but I've been several times. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for enlightening us, because You know, when I first heard about this story, because I was a little bit busy Saturday afternoon, I don't remember what I was doing, but I was busy, and I heard this, and it really took me a long time to figure out just exactly what happened with the race and how it came to that conclusion. I haven't seen any video of it. I don't care to, but it just seemed like it was, you know, there's a lot of drama there that may or may not needed to have been there.
It was definitely a what the heck kind of race.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and now that we've just taken over Brandon's show, we should probably get back to business.
I love horse racing.
Oh, fine. All right.
Sorry.
Delight to have you, both of you.
Certainly is. Well, again, we'll talk here a little bit about NBAF, some of the latest developments here. And we'll start here with severe weather hardening. And you'll have to fill me in on what this entails here.
Okay. Ken's looking at me like, all right, sister, go. So we've talked about this a few times. Clearly, folks are concerned about the structural integrity of the building and operations of the building during severe weather. And given that we're in a severe weather cycle right now, this is a good time to talk about this. One of the reasons that the beginning of construction was delayed was because Homeland Security decided that they needed to take another look at weather hardening of the building and what other engineering features they might need to add to make sure that the building had the structural integrity to survive severe weather. So that put a little bit of a pause in the timeline while they did that risk assessment and that study. And what they came up with was that they decided that they wanted to create a building that had the integrity to withstand conditions surrounding an F5 tornado. And they didn't want to create their own standards. So what they did was they took the standards that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission uses for nuclear power plants. So it's the same standards that if NRC had come in and had decided to build a nuclear power plant right there on that site, what would they require for building integrity standards? And that's what the redesign and reengineering was all about. So the conditions are that the building has to withstand a 230-mile-an-hour straight-line wind, which apparently is next to impossible to obtain on planet Earth, but that was the standard they picked. So a 230-mile-an-hour straight-line wind. The building has to withstand a pressure differential of 30 inches of water. And I'm not a meteorologist, so I'm not real sure I understand what that means. But in my mind, that's sort of like from here in Manhattan to like outer space, if you talk about a difference, an air pressure differential. So because, as you know, tornadoes are very, very low pressure, and that's what blows everything up, is that the pressure inside a structure is higher than the tornado pressure, so everything blows up. And you don't want the building to do that. So the building has to be strong enough to withstand a very severe internal pressure that's significantly higher than the atmospheric pressure. So 30 inches of water. So for those of you guys who are into meteorology, you know what that means. I don't really. I just know it's big. The other thing that the building has to withstand is that obviously there will be vehicles and objects outside of the building, and so they had to pick an object, and they picked a 4,000-pound vehicle. If the tornado picks up a 4,000-pound vehicle in the parking lot and throws it at the side of the building at a speed of 100 miles an hour, the building has to maintain integrity. So those are the conditions that they picked. Because that requires such significant engineering, those engineering features are the features that surround the containment laboratory, where the select agents and the viruses are going to be stored. That's the part that needs the most protection. The office space where people sit, which is outside of containment, that's not part of that structural integrity. A lot of the fans and whatnot are not part of that structural integrity. It is just the integrity right around containment, because the thing we have to protect is we have to protect those disease agents. So those are the criteria, and those are the standards to which the building has been built.
I would imagine a lot of that, the dangerous area of the facility, something like that hit, it's probably pretty low underground, isn't it?
Well, the laboratories and animal rooms themselves are at ground level.
Okay.
So an awful lot of what people see is all of the ancillary space, equipment space. It's where you've got all your air filters and your fans and your inlets and your outlets and all of that sort of stuff is mostly what you see above ground. The laboratory level is a pretty standard, 10-foot ceiling height kind of an area, and it's right at ground level.
Okay. Well, obviously, this area deals with a lot of flooding, too, and you're pretty elevated there on the NBAF facility, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that shouldn't be one of the problems with that. One of the other interesting things about the facility itself is, you know, because it's cutting-edge technology and the fact that the containment area is encased in steel and concrete, but also there's sensors throughout the building on the exterior surface of the building that can sense a change in barometric pressure. And at certain changes in barometric pressure, there's heavy steel doors that go ahead and completely seal off containment or close based on a rapid drop in barometric pressure. But then there's also protocols that are being set up and will be set up that, given the tornado warnings, tornado watches, and those types of things, there are certain protocols that will be put into place just based on weather conditions and that type of thing. So it's pretty incredible when you look at the technology that the building, like Marty had said once before, you know, rather than looking at it as a building anymore, we're looking at it as one big integrated machine, and that's part of it is the weather hardening that's going on.
And when it is ongoing. How long of a process is that to do the weather hardening?
It'll be an ongoing process.
Okay.
Right now construction, last I heard, I think is 76% complete, and but it's part of the continuous process for commissioning and for finishing the building, and then the protocols, all of that is in the process and will continue to be in the process and will be modified as needed. So,
and I can understand the public concern about it here, but at the same time, you don't just build a facility like this and not take into account, the climate history of Central Kansas.
Right. And that was what the risk assessment was about, was taking in that climate history and looking at that. If you think another way to think about this weather hardening is if you think about this containment laboratory as being a box inside of a box inside of a box, the very interior box is the part that is most vulnerable and needs the most protection. So that's where the weather hardening is taking place. So it's integral to the building. It's not a raincoat that we're putting outside the building. It's actually structural and integrated into the building itself. So that very most interior box is the hardest box, literally physically the hardest box there is.
All right. Well, let's take a quick time out. We'll talk more with Marty Veneer and Ken Burton here from NBAF. When we return, News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.